but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Oregon State Beavers, 1 year removed from 13 wins total, not only back in the dance, but they're dancing all the way to the Elite Eight.
Oregon State dancing into the Elite Eight. It's March Madness. Our next guest is with the team in Albany, New York. Ron Callen, we've had him on before. Beaver Sports Network, women's college basketball. He's been all around this team all season long. Set the scene, Ron. Where are you right now?
Right now, I am outside the team room. The players are walking by. Say hi, Sheila.
Hi, Beaver Nation.
Sheila Heidi is walking by right now. All the players, we just got back from the arena. They watched South Carolina and Indiana for a while, and Indiana seems to be in big trouble. But this has been a fantastic year, guys. And to win this game today, when the other team took 25 more shots, and the Beavers had 26 turnovers to 9, but then the rebounding difference was amazing, and the Beavs shot like 60-plus percent to the 30s. And, hey, 27-7, and you got 40 minutes away from the Final Four. I think that's for a team that was picked to finish 10th. But the Pac-12, you gotta say they're pretty darn good.
Talia von Ohlhofen tweeted out that media poll from the beginning of the season just a few minutes ago. How much are they rallying around that, Ron, that they were picked 10th and nobody saw them coming?
You know, I think that's been the moniker all season long, the fact that, hey, nobody respects us, they're dogging us. I mean, even I heard Talia in the postgame talking to another reporter about that and about, you know, at the selection party, I said, well, how far can you go? And she says, all the way. She's a true believer. She's the leader of this team. Last night in the hotel lobby, we were going to dinner, and she and her family brought each of us a lei that they'd flown in from Maui. So we all went out to dinner wearing a lei because, you know, her family's from Maui, and family is so important to her. Ohana, as she likes to call it. And I'll tell you what, she's an amazing leader. The Beavs have players that have grown so much this season. I mean, look at Tamia Gardner. I mean, she is an amazing athlete and a quick release and hit the key three. But her big growth this year hasn't been shooting. We've known she could shoot. It's the ability to box out and get those rebounds at critical times. I mean, she was huge today. And then there's always a game when somebody steps up, and when they were down, Lily Hansford hits that huge three right in front of the Beaver bench, you know, with like about 2 minutes to go. So it's fun to watch them continue to grow. The ultimate test looks like it's going to be on Sunday to get to the Final Four, because you're playing a team that will be 35-0, you know, undefeated in South Carolina, and everybody presumes they're going to win. But I know a lot of the media, in fact, we had some people calling us saying ESPN didn't even want to talk about Oregon State after the game. All they wanted to talk about was the Irish, the Irish, the Irish. And, of course, I didn't hear their broadcast. But, hey, you know, They're proving that the Pac-12 is pretty good. 5 of 16. How many will be in the Final Four? We'll have to wait and see. But it is a pleasure to broadcast these games and watch great our good team become great.
Ron Callen with us from Albany, New York, at the regional there. Oregon State moving on to the Elite Eight. This team, it's got just a special feel about it. Scott Ruick said it midseason. He came on my show, Ron, and he said he felt like it had the same vibe as the Final Four team. And that was really before they started to move up in the rankings and end up as a top 12 or a top 10 team at different points. Donovan Hunter, you mentioned Tamia Gardner, Talia von Ohlhofen, Reagan Beers. There's some depth here, and then there's some players that have been contributing more recently that, you know, maybe weren't doing that at the beginning of the season. Are they playing? I hate to say it today because they turn the ball over frequently, but are they playing better basketball now than maybe they did midseason, or what do you see?
You know, I think the first step up took place when they got into Pac-12 play because they knew it was going to be an 18-game gauntlet against ranked teams. And I think the key moment of the season was when they swept Colorado and Utah at home. And then 2 weeks later, they go to their schools in Salt Lake City and Boulder and sweep them there. So you say, this team is doing something special. It's continued. Yeah, Reagan got hurt in that amazing 79-77 UCLA win when Talia hit the bomb with 1.1 seconds to go. But, John, you saw this team at the Pac-12 tournament. You saw what they did in their first game, that double overtime comeback win over Colorado to beat them for the third time in a row. That's so tough to do. And it's about, I mean, when you talk to Talia, and I did an interview with her about 30 minutes ago before I got on the team bus, it's just all about heart. It's heart. It's caring for each other. And, of course, and to get great scouting by the coaches, you got to give the coaches credit. I mean, look what they did to the guards for Notre Dame today, Hidalgo. They totally frustrated her. Just like they held Juju Watkins, who's one heck of a player, to 6-for-33 in the second time they met them. So it's a lot of fun. Albany, New York. I never thought I'd be here this long, but you know, it's great, and look forward to Sunday, and that's going to be a game with high interest. And let's see how many Pac-12 teams make it to the Final Four. Do you got a prediction, John?
I had said all along I wouldn't be surprised to see three in the Elite Eight and two in the Final Four, but I may have to expand that, you know, prediction, because I didn't see five in the Sweet 16. I thought they could get four. But, you know, this conference looks good. And maybe, like, you know, it was said on the broadcast, and you're right about the post game on ESPN. It was all about Notre Dame not playing well and nose rings and all of this stuff that had nothing to do with Oregon State. But Oregon State just, in the moment of truth, found a way. And this team seems to find that. And who do you put that on? And what is that about? And, you know, that belief or that ability to kind of rise to meet the moment.
I put it on three players. I put it on Tamia Gardner, Talia Von Ohlhofen, and Donovan Hunter. Okay, Donovan Hunter's numbers were good today. She had a couple of big shots, but she faced Hidalgo. She frustrated Hidalgo. She's a freshman who was playing for Medford, you know, less than a year ago, right? I mean, and she is just an amazingly mature, smart, and nothing fazes her. She is never bothered. And I think that's one of the keys. You need a point guard who's not going to get flustered. Yeah, there were turnovers today, but they've had a lot of turnover games between 15 and 20 and one each time. That's because they do play shutdown defense, even when there's a turnover. I mean, today the Irish had a couple of good opportunities after turnovers. They couldn't take advantage of it because the Bees got back and made them uncomfortable on the offensive end.
Give us an idea of the atmosphere in the Albany Regional. There were some national media members saying, oh, that is a terrible place to hold a regional. They were even, Ron, they were saying Portland's a bad place to hold a regional. They'd never been there, though. Give us an idea of what the atmosphere was like.
You know, we were here 5 years ago, and I didn't think much of it. They've done a much better job this time. They've revamped the floor. The stadium, which holds 15,000, sold out. And you know why it sold out? Because South Carolina and Iowa and LSU, right? I mean, that's one big reason that they're all here. So it's a sellout. It was a good atmosphere today. And behind me, guys, I would say about 250 Beaver fans that made the trek all the way from the West Coast to Albany. A lot of them were family members, but a lot who were just diehard, longtime Oregon State women's basketball fans who started following this team back when they started to get into postseason play when Scott Ruick joined in 2010. In fact, Allie Gibson, who was on the first Pac-12 championship team, was my halftime guest today. And, you know, she's still playing. She's going to play for Puerto Rico in the Olympics this summer in France. So she came on at halftime. But the bottom line is, man, this team has an incredible fan base. They followed them out here. And, I mean, yeah, Albany, New York is not a, you know, it's not a bucket list place. But as far as basketball, the Beavers just did what they did anywhere they play. You know, they play unselfish basketball. I mean, the game, when they beat Nebraska the other day, guys, 21 assists on 22 baskets. How often do you see that? Not very often. I mean, that's an amazing stat.
Ron Callen with us, Beaver Sports Network. He's been there all season with the women's basketball program. He's in Albany, New York. After the game, you got Scott Ruick with a big high five with Aaliyah Goodman, a former player at Oregon State, now one of his assistants. There is a lot of culture and a lot of culture keepers inside the program. Yeah. You've been around it, even in Scott Ruick's early years where he wasn't getting success. They were not good in their first few seasons, and, you know, he inherited a mess. We all know that. But, you know, I had another SID at Arizona State. Doug Tamro reached out to me, and he said, 15-39 in their first three seasons. No one panicked. That doesn't happen anymore in athletics. The journey of Scott Ruick, the culture, Aaliyah Goodman now on the bench as an assistant. What does that mean to this program?
You know, you talk about it's all about that family thing that Talia was even talking about. I mean, Aaliyah Goodman, you know, she was a tremendous player. In fact, her final 2 years, she had to deal with the COVID mess, but she continued to play hard. She leaves and goes to Duke for two seasons and kind of, you know, gets her feet on the ground as an assistant coach and learning how to analyze things. But she wanted to come home. Her family, you know, she went to LaSalle High School in Milwaukee, and she wanted to come back. And I'll tell you what, she and Devin Hunter, the two assistants, former players under Scott, they both know what Scott wants, what he needs, and they've both been very successful. And I'll tell you what, when Aaliyah Goodman, and you've interviewed thousands of people on the radio, when I do the Scatter Report on my pregame show, she sounds like a head coach, John. She's going to be a head coach someday somewhere. I mean, she's so articulate. And they all have a passion for this program, though. And I think Scott was smart to bring in former players, because they're not that much older than some of the players who are on the roster, right? Even though there's no seniors. That was another amazing thing. Two graduate students and four seniors on Notre Dame. The B is with no seniors. You know, I mean, it's just all these little stats, you go, wow. Yeah, but nothing phases this team. I mean, they're not going to be intimidated by South Carolina, but South Carolina is the best team in the country. So that's going to be a tall order on Sunday, but I can't wait to see how they attack it.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because, you know, the way I see it, Ron, Oregon State has to play their best game. It, you know, it may be their A game, A plus game that they have to play. They're going to have to shoot it. They cannot afford to have the turnover problems they had today against Notre Dame. But what else? What are you thinking about as you think about that matchup?
Well, I think you nailed most of it. You know, I think, you know, turnovers, you can't go over 15, period. It'd be better if you had 10 to 12. And then the shooting percentage, if they shoot like they did today, that will be encouraging. The big issue, okay, the Beavs are big inside. They've got Reagan, and they've got Tamia, and, you know, guards like Talia Von Ohlhofen and Donovan Hunter can get boards. But, you know, Cardasso on South Carolina, pardon me, is an amazing player. And they've got a whole load of incredible athletes with South Carolina. So it's going to be, like you say, play their best game, cut down on the turnovers, but make your shots. Make sure players like Lily Hansford and Abby Blacklock, like Blacklock came in today, didn't try a three, but she had a great shot off the glass, you know, of an important bucket at the time she was in. The bench is deep. There's 12 players. They've all made contributions. I mean, Notre Dame, I think, got tired too at the end. A little bit. I mean, when you're playing 6 and 7 at the most against a team that played, 10, I think, today, I mean, it's really interesting to see the dichotomy there. But South Carolina, these will be underdogs. Indiana was 15.5-point underdogs today to them. I haven't seen the score since halftime, when I think they were up 17. But everybody expects them to win. But that's what most of the media types, the East Coast bias media types, and that's just a fact. You know, I mean, they don't watch Oregon State basketball. You know, they remember, oh, yeah, they were good a few years ago, but Scott is an amazing coach. I mean, I went to Linfield, so I know D3 world. And, you know, he came out of the D3 world at George Fox and Newberg. And, you know, I mean, LaVonda Wagner left. And he was, you know, Bob DiCarlo said, hey, come on in. Let's see what you can do. And here he is. It's 14 years now. And he's shown that, he was coach of the year, right, with Pac-12 media. I don't think it was the coaches. But he's respected by everybody, and I can't wait to see what Tar Vanderveer and Stanford do in a little while tonight.
Yeah, right here in Portland. Ron Callen with us from Albany, New York at the Albany Regional, where Oregon State has advanced to the Elite Eight. The score on that South Carolina-Indiana game has tightened up. It is a 10-point game headed to the fourth quarter. So 65-55, South Carolina headed to the fourth. We'll see how they go. South Carolina, obviously 34-0. It will be a tall test for Oregon State. Ron, what will the team do between now and tomorrow's practice and then obviously a game on Sunday? What will the team do?
The coaches, I know we're stayed and watched the second game. I think what will happen is that tomorrow they'll head back over to Siena College, which is the host school for this this regional, and practice. And it'll be a long practice, I bet. And they'll watch a lot of tape. And I think the key could be making threes too, John. If they can make threes, and they have all these different players that can do it, and that's going to be one thing. They're going to have to make their three-pointers. But the practice will take place. They'll have a good family, you know, get together with some. A lot of the parents are here, so they'll probably be hanging out with them tonight. And then tomorrow, as Lily Hanser told me, just get to work. That's what we've been doing all season long. We do not dwell on our wins. What's next? What do we have to do? And I've seen a lot of Beaver teams under Scott Ruick. This team, John, might be the most attentive at practice. And players like Talia and Tamia, hey, they'll say, hey, what about this, coach? And he listens, and they're like, okay, let's give it a try. So, Scott, he is just a tactician, maybe like no other. He knows how to create an uncomfortable situation for the opponent. And the best player on that team, Hidalgo, was uncomfortable today. And when you put it right down to brass tacks, that probably was why the Beavers won today.
Had so much being made of the nose ring. She, for people who didn't watch the game, she had a nose ring in. The NCAA says you can't wear one. The officials sent her to the bench and made her remove it. She did not look happy about that. I don't think she would have been happy with the ring in. She wasn't playing that well anyway. this Oregon State team gets dissed, Ron, at every corner. ESPN talking about Notre Dame. The media picking them 10th. As you said, they rally around it. How far can they carry this thing? I mean, and you tell me, Ron, is the whole Pac-12 implosion in the background of all of this, is that something they can use to rally around as well?
You know, I think they have used it, the fact that the Pac-12 debacle, whatever you want to call it, because, I mean, is it coming back someday? Is there going to be buyer's remorse in places like Eugene and Palo Alto when they get tired? I mean, we flew out here to Albany, okay, on a charter, and it took almost 6 hours. So that means 6 hours back. How many times do you want to do 12-hour trips every other weekend? I just think that's, I don't know, I think it's short-sighted. We know all the reasons. We've talked about it almost a year about the whys they're doing it. And with football, it's not as bad a deal, but these other sports guys have to travel so much, three time zones every other weekend. And this one trip, I tell you, the players, you know, it's a long trip. So let's see. But, you know, if you're Oregon, you're playing Rutgers and Maryland one weekend, then 2 weeks later you're going to Penn State and Ohio State or something like that. I mean, I think it'll get old fast. I think it's going to be interesting to see, you know, because the volatility in college athletics is at an all-time high. And so we'll wait and see. But and then the Beavers next year, you know, what are they going to do to maintain the RPI? In November and December, you're not going to be playing Arkansas Pine Bluff and Morgan State very often. You're going to be playing teams. You got to play it. And this team, though, next year will be the first time there'll be a couple of seniors. I mean, I think they could be listed as, especially with the win today, a top 10 team, or maybe even higher in the first poll for the 2024-25 season, even though they will be in the Pac-2 and the WCC. That's how good this team can be.
Ron Callen with us, Beaver Sports Network. But Ron, you've been there all year. You've interviewed these players. You've been around them. I've watched your videos. I think you're doing a hell of a job covering this team like nobody else. How much fun are you having kind of watching this run and watching this team blossom?
You know, it's been a blast because, you know, I'm not working at a radio station in Portland anymore, so I don't have to worry about getting up at 4 a.m. for the 5 to 9 shift, you know, or putting in reports every day. But I've been able to focus on putting stuff together for them. And I have a podcast and all that, too. But, you know, these players, this team, it is impressive. I'm impressed with every player on this team. And, I mean, they all play different roles, and they've accepted them. I mean, look at Sela Heidi. You know, her parents went to Oregon State. Her brother played for San Diego State last night. How often have two siblings been in the Sweet 16 at the same time? I tried to look it up. I couldn't find the answer. I'm sure there's some obscure almanac somewhere that has the answer to that. But, you know, she plays a role, and she's had some tremendous moments in the season. And she got jacked up the most when they had to play Cal because she spent 3 years there. And, of course, the Beavs took care of business against them twice. So that made her happy. But, she knows she's backing up Reagan. Nobody's going to stop Reagan from being the starter and playing. But she is a dynamic you need. Somebody to come in, you know, and get some rebounds. And she's really adept at putting up a little putback shot. So that's just one player that you don't hear about a lot. But she's tremendous. And then you've got AJ, who broke down crying after the game today. Just how emotional she said, we've come so far. And to do this today was just a huge moment in my life. And so she didn't have big numbers today, but she was out there playing hard. And so, they'll be ready to go Sunday. It's going to be fun. And I didn't see an official time yet. I heard it may be 11 o'clock or 11:15. That's to be determined, but, you know, not a lot of time to get ready. So, you know, tomorrow's going to be a busy work day for the Beavs.
Will be fun to watch this. Enjoying it, Ron. I appreciate you joining us. Great job. You know, make sure you hydrate. You got a big weekend ahead.
Hey, no doubt about that. Hey, John, thank you for having me, you and Judah. Appreciate the time, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, there he goes. Ron Callen. You've seen him and heard him all season long on Oregon State women's basketball. He's there on the scene. Love the scene setter. Of course, Oregon State now sitting and waiting. Probably South Carolina on Sunday. Leave it here.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.